You're on the Inside Track from breakfornews.com. It's Wednesday, the 23rd of November 2005, and you're very welcome. This is your World News Summary and Analysis with Fintan Dunn reporting. Later in this show, we will be looking very closely at Bob Woodward. That's coming up. But we'll begin with news that an American Muslim student charged with joining Al-Qaeda and plotting to assassinate George W. Bush has been convicted. Abu Ali, who grew up in Falls Church, Virginia, could get life in prison on these charges. But his defense lawyer, Khurram Waleed, said it's difficult for anyone to get a fair trial in the U.S. when the accusations involve Al-Qaeda. In reaching their decision, the federal jury clearly rejected his defense that Saudi security forces had tortured him into a false confession, which was rather stupid of them. That's the modus operandi of Saudi security forces. Like the Mounties, they always get their man, and even if he's the wrong one, they make sure that he's the right one. In any event, this is, of course, a show trial, as is the case of Jose Padilla. The Bush administration is now to charge Padilla in a federal civilian court instead of keeping him indefinitely in a military brig, and that's got little to do with their interests in justice and a lot to do with not wanting to go to the Supreme Court and have a showdown on the issue of the government's ability to hold people indefinitely without trial. Surprise, surprise, there's no mention whatsoever in the new charges against Padilla of planning to set off a radioactive dirty bomb. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton has distanced herself from fellow Democrat Jack Murtha, who was looking for a troop withdrawal as soon as possible from Iraq. And an ABC News report on Hillary's statements is rather worrying. It headlined, "Hillary advocates third way on Iraq troop withdrawal." The third way, of course, is part of a political movement which involves Tony Blair in the United Kingdom. That's hardly going to cheer you up. Now here's a crucial disinformation alert. The Arab satellite channel Al Jazeera is asking for the White House and Downing Street to investigate whether British Prime Minister Tony Blair had to talk George Bush out of launching a military strike on Al Jazeera. The controversy erupted after the Daily Mirror in Britain published a top secret Downing Street memo. No, not that Downing Street memo, a new one. Now, by the way, Al Jazeera is based in Qatar, so that bombing raid would be the shortest bombing raid in military history. Al Jazeera is just down the road from the US military's bases in Qatar. But in any event, the entire story is complete and total rubbish. Why would Bush and or Blair, anybody on the US or UK side, want to bomb Al Jazeera? They run Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera is, of course, as many more informed listeners know, staffed mainly by people who worked for the BBC in the past. And it is an essential arm of the US-UK disinformation project. And of course, you know what day it was yesterday.
Thanksgiving is only days away, and this happy holiday will be just a little better this year if a little forethought goes into the purchase of the traditional turkey. Naturally, you want a turkey that gives you extra meat per pound. Armor Star, best by far.
What he's talking about, dude. 22.5 minutes now away from 1 o'clock. All right, let's take a little time out here. Everybody in the ice box will get a beer.
This KLIF bulletin from Dallas, three shots reportedly were fired at the motorcade of President Kennedy today near the downtown section. KLIF News is checking out the report. We will have further reports. Stay tuned.
Yes, November 22nd, 2005, the 42nd anniversary of the assassination of John Kennedy. The popular catchphrase says that everyone who was alive at the time can remember where they were on that fateful day. Well, almost everybody. Poppy Bush, George Bush Sr., seems to have a few problems with his memory, as does Richard Nixon. Yesterday, around 200 people gathered in Daley Plaza in Dallas, Texas, and another 100 had gathered the previous weekend at a conference called Cracking the JFK Case. The Washington Post has reported on that conference, and that story is being carried worldwide. Surprise, surprise. But anyway, the Washington Post is being a bit too dismissive of the continuing research into the killing of JFK because new information is coming out all the time. And some of it came out yesterday in a news report by the New Jersey Courier Post Online. New pieces of information emerged from that article about retired Dallas detective Jim Lavelle. He's the tall guy in the white suit and hat who's handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he's shot by Jack Ruby. If that's not enough to jog your memory, Lavelle is the guy with the grimace on his face. Lavelle's left arm was handcuffed to Oswald's right, and according to the latest news report, Lavelle, in addition, had his left hand tucked into Oswald's belt. Now, if you work that one out, Lavelle was in effect holding Oswald's right arm in such a way that he couldn't possibly bring it across in front of his body. In other words, he could not use his right arm to defend himself against a stomach shot. And great news for US arms suppliers and also for Indonesia as the United States lifts its arms embargo, which has been in effect for 6 years, based on US concerns about human rights in Indonesia. Nope, don't laugh. The US government in its defense says that it would be a bad time to isolate Indonesia, in part because there have been a number of Al-Qaeda attacks in Indonesia. I wonder who carried those out. Human rights groups from Amnesty International to Human Rights Watch have criticized the move, and you can see why, because in recent months, the president of Indonesia and General Suharto, the army chief, have called for a reinvigoration of what's called the territorial command structure. That's a system whereby the army has regional commands extending right down to the village level, putting the army in direct control of Indonesian society. The US move comes in the wake of a kiss and make up with Indonesia following the tsunami. And the benefit for the United States will be that the US gets to use one of the Indonesian islands as a new regional military base. A new agreement with the Motion Picture Association of America means that BitTorrent isn't likely to go the way of other people who've suffered court defeats. Now, the deal between the two is an anti-piracy agreement. It's largely symbolic. So why are BitTorrent and the motion picture people getting so cozy? Well, Hollywood has realized that BitTorrent is actually the best technology to deliver legal content to users. So it wouldn't be a good idea to put them out of business, would it? A significant change in the way people are using the internet. It used to be the number one thing they used it for was email, followed by news, followed by searching online. Now, searching online has displaced news for the number two spot. And the ones who are doing the searching, they're more likely more wealthy, using broadband, and better educated. And they'll get even more educated if they start hunting out their own information instead of relying on the news services. That's a signal change in the way the internet's being used. And it completes this summary of world news. I'll be back in just a moment with a good, hard, close look at Bob Woodward. Is it worth it? Oh yeah. You're on the inside track on breakfornews.com, and we'll be right back. Very welcome back. You're on the inside track on breakfornews.com. Washington Post reporter Bob Woodward is getting an easy ride so far in the Plamegate controversy, but not everybody's thrilled with Bob. Certainly not the Tampa Tribune. The big problem, says the Tampa Trib, is that Bob Woodward has become a Washington player. rather than a Washington reporter. Bob Woodward's been a player for quite some time, and the legendary reporter is great at telling other people's secrets, but he's quite secretive about his own background. The big question about Bob Woodward is, did he work for the Office of Naval Intelligence, and is he still working for them, or does he work for the CIA? Now, you have infamously heard of the Yale Society Skull and Bones. George Bush is a member, John Kerry's a member, but you may not have heard of the Book and Snake. That's another Yale Society, because Bob Woodward, who grew up in Wheaton, Illinois, is a Yale boy. And at Yale, he was one of 15 Yale boys who were invited to join the Book and Snake. It's not quite Skull and Bones, but Book and Snake is certainly in there among the top second-tier fraternities at Yale. And given that the CIA had an active policy of recruiting on Yale in the campus, and recruiting especially among members of secret societies, well then, maybe the question about Bob is, was he in the CIA before he was seconded to the Office of Naval Intelligence? And as we were talking about JFK earlier in the show, it's probably appropriate to point out that Woodward had the same top secret crypto clearance as the CIA agent Lee Harvey Oswald had when he was in the Marines. In 1969, reliable reports indicate that Woodward was briefing Al Haig at the White House. And if you consider that Bob Woodward was briefing Al Haig, that raises a question about who the Deep Throat source really was. And speaking of Deep Throat, the legend is that the movie was playing in Washington, D.C. at the time, and that's why Woodward and Bernstein gave their White House contact that name. But a little fact-checking reveals that Deep Throat wasn't playing anywhere in D.C. at the time. More fact-checking reveals that one scene in All the President's Men, after a setback in their investigation, Woodward and Bernstein were not only defeated by circumstance, but defeated by the elements as the rain poured down on them with only newspapers over their heads to keep them dry. Well, in fact, on the day described, it never did rain. Okay, they're not huge points, but if you're prepared to fabricate that kind of detail, what are you not prepared to fabricate? Including the famous signal which Woodward used to send to Deep Throat whenever there was a meeting to be scheduled. But some more fact-checking reveals that Bob Woodward lived in apartment 617, which didn't face the street. You'd have to enter into the courtyard. If you wanted to check whether Bob Woodward had put out the flower pot with the red flag in it, you'd have to go into the courtyard of the apartment complex to take a look, which is hardly what a high-level White House source would be doing on a daily basis. Certainly not without getting the cops called. Anyhow, if Bob Woodward wasn't working for the CIA, he might have felt a bit left out. After all five of those who broke into the Watergate building had worked for the CIA previously. And, of course, Howard Hunt worked for the CIA. He was part of Gordon Liddy's secret special investigative unit at the White House. And the company that Hunt worked for, Robert Orr Mullen and Company, was certainly a CIA front. It was based in the same building as the CIA's Domestic Operations Division. And the head of Mullen and Company, Robert Bennett, almost certainly worked for the CIA also. Not only that, but the whole idea of taping Nixon in the first place was a CIA idea, and that provided the essential evidence which led to Nixon's downfall. So you can see the whole thing as a CIA operation from beginning to end. Of course, as ever, the CIA never works alone in these kind of operations. They work hand in glove with Naval Intelligence, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the FBI, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Of course, it's the clear involvement of the CIA in Watergate issues that makes you ask questions when old Bob Woodward's head pops up again in relation to Plamegate. It's not the first time it's popped up. Even before Plamegate got going, Woodward was already popping up as new revelations identified the FBI's Mark Felt as Deep Throat. Now, that's clearly a deception. Possibly the agency is a little worried that nobody's buying the Deep Throat story, so it was necessary to reinforce it with a new illusion that Mark Felt was Deep Throat. Of course, all the focus on who was Deep Throat is itself designed to make you think that there was a specific individual. Most independent researchers feel there was no individual Deep Throat, but a variety of sources. However, I would go one further than that. Woodward's source as Deep Throat was the CIA itself. If you put together all that information, it's clear that Bob Woodward was part of a CIA operation which was taking out Richard Nixon. And that conclusion is one of the reasons we state in the latest feature audio on the website, Exit Bush, Enter the Dragon, we conclude that Bob Woodward is once again part of another CIA operation to take another president out. There being one crucial difference, of course. This time, the guy being taken out is so CIA it's unreal. His daddy ran the CIA, and so George W. Bush is in on the deal. He knows well that he's been taken out. This is how the political theater is being played. So in the light of all that, now you know why the Bush administration is so chummy with Bob Woodward, who is being just as chummy in return. And now you also know why Oliver Stone did two very significant movies, one JFK and the other about Nixon. Both of those movies are reminiscent of Michael Moore's movie. They are high-level political movies for a mass audience designed to steer people in a particular direction. What exactly is he doing in this particular story this time around? And the answer to that question is this. It's not so much that he's doing anything in particular. They're using the same technique that they use with Musab al-Zarqawi or Osama bin Laden, which is repetition to establish the meme. Bob Woodward is window dressing for the planned takedown of GWB. And by various contrivances, including his exclusives with Bush, followed by Woodward appearing now in the Plamegate scandal, all of that is designed to repeat Woodward, 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 to keep using the name, driving home the Watergate meme. Because when you're running an intelligence operation, one of the best ways to ensure that it runs predictably is to do it in such a way that everybody knows how to behave because they've seen it before. That's the beauty of rerunning the Watergate thing. By using Woodward, they can establish that Watergate momentum, and everybody knows how you behave, and everybody knows how it ends. And so that can be sold, like popcorn, to the American public. But I hope that you aren't buying it. And I hope, if you're listening in the United States, that you have a good Thanksgiving. And I hope that you will join us the other side of the weekend for the next edition of the Inside Track. But in the meantime, for Break for News, this has been Fintan Dunn reporting.